Brooklyn.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here.
Enjoy it. It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chance you want to leave.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
I love my car, God-made love. I love my car, God-made love. I love my God, God made hate. I love my God, God made hate. I love my God, God made good. I love my God, God made good. I love my God, God made bad. I love my God, God made me dead. But I don't wanna pray to my maker.
We are the Dave and Giggles Show, and I hope I can hear you. Say a little something, buddy. I am Dave. Across from me in Colorado is Giggles.
Giggles here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's got to turn you up a little bit.
Mic check. This is kind of the volume that I'll be speaking for the rest of the show.
And you sound so good.
How's that sound?
You're a little low,
Thanks, bud.
You're a little low.
You look good.
You look real good.
We've got a lot of sports. Listen, if you're just tuning in, this is Dave and Giggles. If you want to call in, we've got some callers lined up, but you can always call in. People all the time say, what am I going to call in and talk about? I say, talk about anything you want.
Anything you want.
They ask me about our show. What kind of show do you do? I say, well, it's just kind of freeform. We're just kind of riffing, you know, talking about current events and music.
Sure.
You know, so call in. The number if you want to call in, you can write it down. You don't have to call in right this second, but you can call in a couple minutes.
Call in.
Is 718-928-9732. That number again is 718-928-9732.
That's it. That's the one, 9732. Did you see the picture I put up on Instagram to advocate for the show?
No, I did not.
Oh, you should take a look at it. It's really so I'm driving around like East New York yesterday, and I got stopped at a stoplight, and I look over, and there's this woman on her hands or on her knees, and she just went to the grocery store, so she's got like bags down at her sides, and her hands are up like she's praying to God, and she's looking up, and she's just singing. I don't know what was going on.
Why do you give the wrong number?
Did I give
on
the wrong
call
number?
And you say 917. It's 718-928-9732.
Right, I'll change it.
This is why I can't show with you anymore. It's because you give false information.
Change.
You're fake news.
Fake news, Dave.
Change it right now. I can't believe we're like editing an Instagram post.
I don't know if
and
I can.
How many
can
times have you
that?
Had people call in this number and you can't get it right?
Can Come I on. Change it? I don't know if
Switch
I can
Switch it up on me. Sometimes it takes a few minutes to work out the kinks. And then we get in our flow. So just so you know.
Sure, just so you know.
Dave's in New York and I'm in Colorado. And we're fast friends. And, you know, the history's there. There's a lot of history. We've only slept in the same bed once and it was head to toe.
Head to toe.
Was it head to toe? Was it really head to toe?
I think it was head to toe.
I feel like I might have flipped around.
You think so? You know, in the middle of the night? That was a weird night. I mean, we just like on a whim decided to drive down to Philadelphia. And you were like, my buddy, Dan Collins, good dude. We've had him on the show before. He's like, he's playing tonight. And let's go. So we get in the car and we go. And we end up, it was like my birthday, I think. So it was like February. So it was freezing out. It was really cold. Yeah. And we just ended up like going to see Dan in this little, like tiny little place. And who else was there? Michael Ronstadt was playing, another past guest.
Yeah. And then this guy, Blaine, who's hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And then was that the night that we all went out with a bunch of dudes?
It was like a bunch of dudes.
It was like 10 dudes.
Yeah.
It might have been eight
I think there might
dudes.
Have been like one girl in there and everyone was like kind of like, hey, let me talk to that girl. Everybody was like, I'm going to talk to the girl and nobody could. But I remember we get back and everybody was trashed. We ended up like walking around. We ended up at like a house party in the middle of Philadelphia. That was really awkward because I don't think anybody wanted us there. And we just kept adding people onto our group. And then by the time we got back to Dan's house, he was on the outskirts of Philly. So we must have drove back, which is probably dangerous because we were all trashed.
No. Ronstadt drove.
He's a good dude. Yeah, he's a good dude.
But we rode back with him.
And we get back and like everyone's just crashing on the floor. And like and it was just such an awkward like college experience. But we were like 30. Yeah. You know, it was like 8 years ago. And we ended up sleeping on the couch, head to toe.
The futon. It was a futon. I'll pull out futon, and I think we were...
it was real weird.
Head to toe.
It was really good.
All right. Well, I hope we have more interesting stuff to talk about
than sort of weird nights.
And,
yeah.
You know.
So what's going on over
there? You've got like four buttons unbuttoned.
I do.
You're giving me like the Super V.
You like that? Super V. Yeah, it is pretty warm today. I went down to... what was the name of it? Place down in Brooklyn today, and it's like this corporate place, these buildings that are down like by Red Hooky area, and there's just like these massive buildings, and they just have I wish I could remember the name of it. Regardless, and in these buildings there's just like artists and people selling stuff. So we went into a furniture store and they had like folding chairs they were selling for like $95 a piece. The couches were like $6,000 a piece. It was the most absurd thing. And I just don't get it. Like, why? Why sell something for that much? It did. It made me angry. I was like, I got to burn this place down. So crazy. Yeah. But yeah, it's warm out. I'm all flustered. I got my buttons unbuttoned. But here we are. Dave and Giggles with you till 8.
Did you have a good 4th of July? Did I call you?
We talked.
Did I call you on 4th of July? Wait, 4th of July was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So I called into the show last Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Because we were in Boulder.
Yeah, you were in Boulder. You were on your way back, and luckily Barry came in.
This time I'm at home.
Yeah, you're home.
I'm in the home studio.
The home studio.
And
Yeah, last week was a funny show. Like, you called, like, so I don't know if I set it up last week, but so I set up, I was like, you're not going to join me. So it was just going to be me. So I was like, I'll talk a little bit, but I'm also going to get some music ready. And I got a whole bunch of like 4th of July music ready, and I was going to play it, and I got a playlist together. I had like 12 songs. I was like, this will get me through the hour. I'll talk a little bit, have a little fun with myself. All is well. 2 seconds into the song that I first started playing, you called me from the road and you're not even paying attention to me. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to get our caller. I'm doing some pre-producing. I'm trying to get our caller to call in.
Pre-producing on air.
I met this lady last night.
Oh, yeah?
I'm producing on the air.
What'd you do last night?
She'd love to call in. So I was like,
what'd you do last night?
I don't really know her story. So I,
what'd you do last night? Where'd you meet this girl?
Poker, neighborhood poker. So I did a wedding from about 3 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And then, And then we did a wedding and then got home and then went to like the tail end of poker night, which was nice to just hang out.
Do you go to poker night often?
No, they have it once a month. But like if it coincides with the wedding,
yeah,
it's kind of a nice way to like relax after the end of the day to be like, oh, I'll go over there and like have a couple beers and hang out with some people and talk. Because like when I'm, you know, working the weddings, I'm working.
You're working hard.
A little bit and chatting here and there. But like for the most part, I'm working.
All right. So tell me, who is at this poker extravaganza that you go to maybe once a month?
It's just like neighborhood folks and then folks that the guy who owns the house like works with.
Is this the doctor that lives next to you, or is he still on vacation?
No, he's back.
He's back. So is it his house or is it someone else's?
No.
Give me a rundown. Like, because when you're playing poker,
it's a garage bar. So like, listen, 2 years ago, walking by, I was getting my kids to sleep, and my buddy Matt was with me and my brother-in-law Josh, and we're all walking out and walking around getting Sam to sleep, or no, Leo to sleep, and we walk by and there's this garage that's open and it's like a garage bar. And so my buddy Matt's like, man, nice bar. And the guy's like, yeah, come in. We're like, all right. So Leo was asleep and I was like, all right, well, let's come in and meet this guy. You know me, Leo. I'm always meeting the
you
neighbors.
Are meeting
if
people.
If I see an open garage,
you're gonna,
I'm
go
gonna like look in, and if they look at me, I'll wave, you know. If they don't look at me, then I might still wave and
you're
just
gonna
look, you know, pretend that they're going
to look at
me.
You're going to stand outside until you get the invite to come in. Basically, that's what you're telling me. So is it a legitimate bar, or is it this dude's homemade bar out of his garage?
It's a 3-car garage and it's got, you know, like a real bar, a sink, some chairs.
But it's not like he's tables, selling. He's not selling beer. He gives you beer.
No. He's not selling beer. Like, everything's on the up and up. You know, he's not charging to play poker.
I think to call it a bar is something different. To be like, I drank in this dude's garage down the road and played poker is more accessible. Which is fine.
I call it the garage bar.
The garage bar. So you're sitting around this table. How many people are playing poker with you?
Well, I wasn't playing poker. The tables were, it was already like champion. It was tournament poker. I just went for the tail end. You can go there to hang out and you don't have to play poker.
So you didn't play poker at this poker tournament. You just went and watched.
No.
Oh.
I just went for the last, I got there at like 11:45. I was done with my wedding.
So this is like a legitimate underground poker tournament. Because it's illegal.
Yeah, totally.
It's definitely illegal.
It's legal because he doesn't take a cut. The house doesn't take a cut. I've asked him before. I said, are you sure this is legal? He's like, yeah, as long as the house doesn't take a cut.
That's the legality of it?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So he can't charge. He can't take a cut from, you know, people coming there.
So, like, you could basically have poker anywhere you want. But the legal line is if the house takes a cut. That's the legal line.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. If someone knows,
I'm sure there's some. Illegal operations going.
If someone knows the legality of poker in America, I want you to call in 718-928-9732. Because I'm sure there's like some legality stuff that I don't know that you don't know, and you're going down there and having a good time.
Yeah,
look good over there. That's good.
You look.
Yeah.
What else?
What's going on? So did you see the?
So I told you about my.
All right, go ahead.
I told you about my did a gig last week where I didn't meet the governor, but I was filming and photographing the governor.
The governor of Colorado.
And, also Hickenlooper, and also the CEO of Molson Coors.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which I don't know if it was an awkward interchange, but it was just a little. It could have gone better, but it was just so, you know.
Set it up for me.
Tasting.
Set it up for me. Yeah. Set up the meeting you had with the Molson dude.
So I'm filming a beer tasting with like five, you know, the governor, the CEO of Coors, and a couple other chamber members.
Okay.
So, some executives, whatever, five people, six people. And it was early in the morning and they come in, you know, there's some bagels and stuff like that. And then the Cicerone, who was a really nice guy, he's like a sommelier for wine.
Okay.
But like a Cicerone is to beer. So okay. He's a master
I love
Cicerone.
It.
There's only 13 of them in the country. Or
really?
World. Nice dude. So he's, you know, presenting the four beers that they brewed and everybody's going to vote on it. And the winner gets to be the Denver Chamber's beer for the 150th celebration, which is going to be in November.
So this is like a competition almost.
It's all course. The brewmasters brew four different types of beer.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to do a taste test for the winner, and the winner gets to be the beer that they actually brew.
I gotcha. So
you know, the governor's there, the CEO's there.
So basically, it all comes down to this one Cicero guy who's going to decide what beer goes to the top.
Well, he doesn't decide. The Cicerone was just like, you know, explaining the beers and talking about the process of beer tasting. The people got to pick.
So the people are in the room. You got the governor, you got the president of Molson, and then a couple other like chamber people or whatever, like head of whatever. And they're all sitting around and you are in this room videotaping this whole thing going down.
Yeah, so I'm videotaping it going down. I'm filming and I've got my other buddy taking photos. And we're just doing our thing. And then I had a camera. So the tasting, you know, goes well. Everybody does their thing. And then I interview the CEO of the chamber. And then the CEO, of course, comes over to get interviewed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I introduced myself. I was like, hey, I'm Mike with, you know, this and that. And here's my, here's where we're going to have you stand. I'm going to put a mic on you. And here's the questions I'm going to ask you. You know, so I set him up. He does great. And then I was like, hey, so after the interview's done, you know, everything goes well. It's, you know, it's like a minute and a half. He, you know, knocks it out of the park. I'm sure he's done
hundreds of thousands.
So I said, hey, hundreds of thousands sit on some of these people. So I said, hey, heard you're from Scotland. I got something that I think, you know, you'd like. You can totally, you know, take it if you want. You don't have to take it if you don't want it. But like, I thought you might like it. And so I basically have this brick of peat, which is compressed earth. It's like old earth,
sure.
But they use it over there for, you know, to heat their homes and to cook. And, you know, it's just it smells like burnt,
let's back
old
this
burnt
up a second.
Leaves. It's like a,
let's back this up a second.
What's that?
Why did you have a brick of peat with you? Why did you just have this random brick of peat with you? Where did that come from?
Because I like gifting it. I think it's kind of something that
you pre-planned this. You brought this down to give it as a gift.
You know, I thought about it. I was like, gosh, should I give it to him? You know, is it too forward?
That's
amazing. Like, you know, I was probably there just to take photos and video, do my thing and get out.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to gift anybody anything.
No, no.
You know, like,
it's probably illegal to gift like a mayor. Or he's just the president of Molson, right? Which guy was it? The beer guy?
The CEO. No,
the CEO.
The CEO of Molson Coors, I gifted a brick of peat.
All right, so you hand over a brick of peat, and what does he say?
So he's like, what is this? I was like, this is peat. You know, it's the Irish turf. And he's like, oh, I thought, and peat, if you look at it, it looks like a brick. You know, it's got dirt, you know, basically just
they compact
dirt.
It so it looks like a brick.
Yeah, it's super, super compacted. And I put it in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, Jesus.
Which probably looks a little sketchy. You know, you got this like brick of something in a Ziploc bag and you give it to
terrible.
The CEO.
And it's all green.
And he's like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, so Jesus. Luckily it was in a plastic bag because if I would have just given it to him like raw, then he would have gotten the dust and stuff
sure.
all over his hands.
But you're giving it to, you didn't even like wrap it up in something nice. You gave it to him in a Ziploc bag and you were like, here, this is Pete. It might be weed. I don't know.
So get this.
Right.
So he says it looks like haggis, and
haggis.
I was like, hashish, and he's like, no, haggis, our national food, and I was like, oh, so it was kind of an awkward interchange.
That is
and
an
then,
awkward.
So he had it. I saw it in his hands for a little bit. He had it for a couple of minutes.
What's he going to do? Carry it around?
Yeah. What's that?
What is he going to do? Carry it around all day long, just carrying this brick of peat
there.
All right, go on.
He could take it back to his office. So I see it with, you know, in his hands for a couple minutes. And then I turn around to do something and I look at him again and it's gone.
Of course.
So, which makes me think that he may have given it to the receptionist real quick and been like, here, throw this away.
Yeah, throw this away.
He's giving me this brick. He says it's Pete. I have no idea what this is. You know,
I don't know what
this
is. Who's this
random dude?
So you knew that this guy was Irish. And you were like, I'm going to bring him this and it's going to go over gangbusters and he's going to love me. He's going to bring me in. He's going to get me tons of more work And that's what your train of thought was the whole time.
Wasn't really my train of thought. My thought was it was a nice gesture.
It is a nice gesture.
Hey, you know, I heard you're from Scotland. Here's something, you know, that you might like. You burn it on a campfire or put it in your fireplace. You know, it reminds you of home.
Did he avoid you the rest of the day? Did he avoid you? Or did he make weird eye contact?
At that point, our gig was done. We were just packing up.
Yeah.
So, you know. Luckily, I did it at the end of the
week. Were you like a little sweaty and like nervous about giving him this P2? Be like, hey, I got this thing over here. Can you come over here?
it was kind of like, hey, so I got something for you. You know, yeah, it was kind of.
I threw him off.
It could have gone better.
It could have gone better.
Hey, it was a bold move. And here's the thing. If I see him again, I'm going to ask him. I'll be like, all right, so did you throw it away or did you burn it? And he'll have to answer me, you know, but he'll remember me.
He will remember.
So there you go.
That is a memorable thing. I mean, I think you should just hand Pete out to everyone you meet and be like, the Pete guy. I'm the Pete guy. That's pretty good.
Well, you've smelled it before.
I love the acquired Pete taste. I love the Pete.
It smells so good.
It burns really long.
Yeah, it burns for hours.
Yeah, we used to burn it, which was really funny because when you lived in Queens, you had that burner outside, the stove, and you used to burn Pete all the time, and that gets smoky. It gets really smoky. So, like, we would just engulf that part of Queens in smoke. I'm surprised nobody ever called the fire department on you.
No, I think people liked it because I think there was a lot of Irish people. You know, there was the Irish pub down the road.
That's true.
And I think if you were really from Ireland, which a lot of people in Queens are, that you smell that and be like, oh, somebody's burning. Like, someone smells like home.
Smells like home.
That's a whole,
That's pretty good. Who knows? I like the story. It's bold.
I'll tell you what, it's unique.
It is unique. You know? So, all right. So, what other? I know you're a man who likes to give gifts. Like, what other gifts have you given people that you've worked with? Have you given anybody anything else?
Well, I had a meeting with this guy who's got a sort of like a networking group that he's building out in Colorado.
I know your networking.
So I had a meeting to talk to him about some video stuff.
Uh huh.
And I had a photo that I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I'd like to get rid of it or give it away or whatever. So I was like, well, I'll bring this guy a photo. Like a framed photo, because then it wasn't like super big, but it was just like a nice gesture.
It was one of your pictures. You were like, here it is. Was it one that you had hanging up in Queens, or is it a brand new one?
That might have been a brand new one. Might have been a different one.
All right, so you're a man out there.
I think that went over well because I think he was pleasantly surprised.
I think giving a man a picture is a lot more headstrong than giving a man a brick of peat in a plastic Ziploc bag. He must have been so confused. So confused.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely confused for a while. So
that's really good.
Yeah. Hey, make him remember you, Dave.
That's true.
You gotta get a gimmick. I think nowadays.
That's true.
I don't want to be fly by non operation.
That's true. That's what we do on Dave and Giggles. We give you some.
We've been doing this for 8 years.
I know. And see how far we've gotten.
Yeah.
we've gone a long way.
Who else did I meet? Get this.
All right. Go ahead.
So we went to this thing called the Big Wonderful, which is sort of this like kind of hippie arts and crafts fair. They got music and it's real neat, cool place. But they held it at the Stanley Marketplace this year, which is this really cool
not Gander Mountain.
Stanley Aviation in Aurora was right by the old Stapleton airport,
right?
The old airport in Denver used to be. And so the airplane manufacturing, I think they did ejector seats back in the 40s and 50s and whatnot, but it was dormant for 20 or 30 years. Like it just, fell into disrepair.
Sure.
And this one dude, and I think a few other people decided, hey, this would be a great place for a sort of hipster mall, like a boutique shopping experience with a brewery, restaurant. It's like, it's the total, the thing to do. And this guy did it and they did it really well. And I saw him today at the Big Wonderful, which, I saw the developer guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'd like to get a chance to introduce myself and just, good work. I think what you're doing is really cool for the city of Aurora.
Sure.
And so I chatted with him for a minute, introduced myself. I didn't hand him a business card. I wasn't, pushy. But I said, hey, I do photo and video and I really love what you're doing out here. Pleased to meet you. Keep up the good work. We started talking a little bit.
There you go.
Bada bing, bada boom. Done. See, I'm not afraid to go up to people that I know or that I recognize and say, hey,
someone, you're like, I know that guy is this. So I'm going to go over, start a conversation with him, give a man a peek. I love it.
Give him a brick of peat. I should have brought my peat. I should have said, burn this.
Burn this. Burn it. It'll smell good. What's that thing on your wrist there, buddy?
Oh, that's my thing for a free beer, but I didn't get
is
it.
So we were
only there for like an hour.
The garage
hour
15, beer? That's a garage beer?
It's just not fun. What?
Is that the garage beer bar?
No, this is the Modelo. Get a free, what do you call it? They were. That's the thing. You pay $5 to get in, and then you get like a free beer ticket. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, how was it the racetrack when I used to work there? You pay $5 to get in, you get a $3 betting voucher.
That makes sense.
Like, oh, it only cost me $2. And you get people betting.
Yeah, you got to get people betting.
You know this.
You got to get people betting. I mean, that's where the money is.
I'm all fired up.
You are fired up. You are fired up. You're giving Pete out your...
Talking about business.
Getting
talking about meeting people. Shaking hands.
You are good at meeting people.
Shy people don't eat, Dave. Shy people don't eat.
You're out of control today. You're all sorts of worked up. So speaking of...
I feel good that I'm in studio. I feel good that I'm like...
I know, you're back. You're back. I feel like I haven't...
down the car.
I haven't talked to you in a while about it. Like,
I've called you.
Yeah, you called me.
I call you every day.
You call me every day. I mean, you call me in the middle of the day when I'm at work. I can't just pick it up every time. I pick it up sometimes, but I can't pick it up every time. But
it's like a lottery.
It is. It is. It is like a lottery, and I'm always down for it. So speaking of the racetrack, the running of the bulls was this past week. Did you see anything about that?
I did see a video of this guy like narrowly missing getting hit by like 8 bulls.
Yeah, two Americans were injured pretty bad, and two Americans were injured pretty bad. Like they got gored.
I mean, what do you expect?
I know.
What do you expect is going to happen?
But that's like a lottery as well. Like you just hope that you know, like out of all these people, the bull's not going to go after you. You know.
Right, but you could say you ran with the bulls,
and then you could say you ran with the bulls.
That's kind of like our line when we meet people in the bars. We're saying, "Hey, I have a radio show."
Right,
it's almost like saying, "I ran with the bulls."
I ran with the bulls.
I ran with the bulls.
But is that like
I got a radio show?
I got a radio show. It's the same thing. Is like running with the bulls
a conversation starter?
It is running with the bulls like the most manly thing you can do. Where like if you go to a bar and be like, "I ran with the bulls," is that something that's like as manly as you can do?
Or I think like, the manliest thing you can do is like stand up for somebody who's like sort of, I don't say like, inferior,
like a victim,
but like a,
stand up
you know,
for a victim,
getting kind of pushed, you know, like standing up for the underdog and being like, you know, standing up for what's right even when nobody's doing something.
So standing up for a victim,
kind of like manly.
Yeah. That is manly, totally. And
driving trucks. I want to drive a big truck, but I really like the MPG of my Subaru, so I don't want to get a big truck.
Yeah,
I want a big truck so bad. I'm like, it feels great. Big truck.
Are you talking about like a big Hemi truck, like a flatbed truck?
Well, not like the overboard ones, but just like a nice Dodge Ram 1500.
Well, you used to have that little white cab thing, that Toyota
with the exhaust leak.
Yeah,
and
that
we
was
almost died
in that thing. You should have kept up with that guy who bought it from you and was going to turn it into a green running off of vegetable oil type of truck.
He put batteries. He was going to put batteries in the back of it,
that's smart.
In the bed of it, and make it an electrical truck.
That's good because the exhaust went straight into
the
cab.
Which I think he probably was. I would assume it's a success. If I like search back with my emails way back when, I could probably find that guy.
You should get him on the air.
I got so many hits on that truck. Like people wanted to buy it left and right. And
it
was
so bad.
Okay.
That truck was so bad. It just, the exhaust leaked into the cab. So it just filled it up. And if you didn't have the windows down, you would die. And if you did have the windows down in February, you'd be freezing. And that's pretty much what we did. We would drive around town looking for people's stuff that they threw out, curbside stuff, throw it in the back of the truck, keep going.
Yeah, I can't believe we drove that thing into the city a few times.
Oh, that was
like,
really
that's
bad.
The,
that was bad.
Oh, man.
We almost died.
Yeah. Although this is one of my best sort of driving in New York City stories,
mm-hmm.
was I was going from Queens to get into Manhattan, and I had the truck. You know, it's for the audience at home, it was a 2004, 2005.
That was 2004.
Chevy S10 pickup truck.
That was a 2004.
So it was stick shift, 5-speed. You know, just a single cab, just real nice. You know, just easy get around. Great, you know, great pickup, but just terrible exhaust leak.
Terrible.
But I was ducking and weaving to get from Queens to Manhattan. And, you know, doing the stick shift and, you know, pretending I'm a racehorse. And because in Manhattan, in Queens, whatever, when you're driving, it's all about like staying behind the fast car. Like who wants to get through this traffic?
Right.
And
stay
who's on their phone and
behind
who's,
the
know,
fast
looking.
Car and hitting the light, hitting that row of lights.
Yeah, hitting lights, hitting the timing.
And
so I was going under the Queensboro Bridge, you know, ready to get over the Queensboro Bridge and under 31st Street there. And, you know, it's all you got the overhead trains and I'm just, you know, making moves and I'm just like, you know, making hitting the lights.
Yeah.
And I get up right to before the bridge, and this taxi driver pulls up to me, and he's like, "Hey, you a really good driver." And I was like, "Thanks, man." And I was like, I didn't want to take it too, you know, like too pat myself too bad, you know, much on the back.
Sure.
I was like, "Oh, this guy calls me a good driver, and then I get in an accident."
Yeah, of course.
But I was like, "Hey, if a taxi driver like saw me driving, was like, yeah, this guy's got it.
This guy's
like,
got it."
See, he took the time out of his day to like compliment me on my driving.
That's pretty good.
Which I think is pretty nice.
That's pretty good. See, now wouldn't it have been better when he rolls his window down? He goes, "Hey," and you go, "Yeah," and he goes, "Good driver, man. You're a good driver." And you roll your window down and you hand him a brick of peat. He would just be floored. The dude would be like, "Yeah, this guy is the best dude in the world."
Yeah. Just have it with me. Well, it is kind of pricey. So for $44, you can get a box of like 22 briquettes.
All right.
And so it's about $250. You know, I mean, $250 a piece. You don't want to hand them out like,
yeah,
you know.
Right. You're not going around handing out peat to everybody. You got to give them to CEOs. You know? It'd be sweet if, like,
see, I think it would have been cheesier if I gave him a 6-pack of like a friend's brewery or something. Be like, "Try this."
Well, no, you know? He's the CEO of Molson. Why would he care about other beer? He wouldn't drink it, right?
But they're always looking to acquire companies.
Oh, you know? Really?
So they like,
man, they, that's pretty that's, wild.
That, you see this? There's mergers and acquisitions daily.
That's true.
Companies are just buying companies, and they just want to eat up every piece of competition.
That is very true.
You know,
that is the frightening thing.
We've been bought out. We've been tried to be bought out, you know, many times.
What?
The David Giggles franchise.
The David Giggles franchise. You know? Yeah, that's true.
But we don't sell out.
We don't sell out. We will never sell out. We will never sell out because we don't have the audience to sell out. If we did, we would sell out in a heartbeat, but we don't. Where's your caller?
Remember going to that pizza shop in Williamsburg, and we're like, "Hey, you guys want to sponsor us?"
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. And you handed them a card. And you're like, "Hey, we're looking for sponsors for a radio show." And he looked down at the card and then gave it back to you. And then like walked back in the back. We were just there like, yeah. What do we
hey,
do?
Rejection is part of the business, man. You got to learn how to take take a joke and take a little rejection. You know, it's good for you.
It is.
You can't win all the time.
Right.
You know?
That's why we were so good at interviewing, going out and getting interviews on the street, because we were good at rejection. And then we got rejected a lot. But eventually you start getting, you know, more comfortable with talking to people. Then people get more comfortable getting audio taped, and it all goes well. We got to do that more often. I don't know why we don't interview people. It's just a good time.
We should. Well, we don't live in the same state.
This is the problem. So where's the guest? Are they going to call in?
I don't think they're calling in. I think this might be just a you and me show.
It happens.
Brad, if you're listening, call in. 718-928-9732.
I tried to get
people are afraid. I think people are afraid to call in.
They just, I know. Or they're just not there. They're just not there. I tried to get Pete Pigeon to call in again. I don't know where he is. Probably at the doctor's again. So what's going on over there?
You want to hear like a crazy story?
I always
crazy
hear
wedding
crazy.
Story.
Yes.
All right. So yesterday I'm filming this wedding, filming it for this other guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's at this nice resort. And right next to the ceremony location is the pool. So, you know, there's people, you know,
nice.
Swimming, you know, drinking, you know, carrying on, whatnot. It wasn't too loud. There's some fountain, a little river that separates it kind of. But you can see it, you know. And so I guess the dad had requested that he didn't want people seeing, you know, his daughter getting married. So they put up these like, you know, this little shade sort of, you know, like a fabric
around over, the pool.
You know, the fence, the, you know, on the ceremony side to block people from looking in. I mean, people could still see what was going on, but it was, you know, it was a valiant effort. And so the ceremony starts, you know, and I'm focused on the ceremony happening. And then all of a sudden I see like a cop. And, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, I'm sure somebody's probably drinking too much or, you know, being disrespectful or something. There's a cop going down to the pool.
Uh-huh.
And so the ceremony is going on, and then the cops are, you know, I'm looking over, and as from where I'm filming, I can see everything that's going on at the pool with the cop. And so I was like, I know I'm supposed to focus on the wedding.
Right.
I had a great vantage point to where I could see the pool and I could see the ceremony.
All right.
And I'm supposed to be focusing on the ceremony, which I was, but I was tempted to just kind of like look over and
just
listen.
Just look over.
And be like, what's going on?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to do a Facebook Live video and be like, hey, there's a ceremony right here. And then there's this lady, you know, getting sort of talked to by the cops.
How often do
so,
does your...
You know, I kind of...
Okay, go ahead.
What's up?
Go ahead.
All right. Sorry, I was on a roll.
You're on a roll. Go.
All right. So the ceremony happens, and I was like, man, everything's probably all right. And so I asked the venue coordinator, the wedding coordinator for the venue. I was like, what's happening with the cops? And she's like, oh. And I thought it was just going to be like, oh, some lady was drinking and, you know, carrying on. Or
got a little
showed,
too rowdy.
You know, showed her boobs or something. Oh, that would have
been nice. That would have been nice.
And so she tells me what happens. And I was like, that's terrible. That's the worst thing ever.
What happened?
I know. I was waiting for you to ask me.
So I know you were.
Apparently, this lady, and this is all hearsay. I don't know if this actually happened. This is what I heard from the lady at the venue. But I guess this lady was drinking and drunk or whatever. And she had her kid, I don't know how old the kid was, in the pool with her. And supposedly she was like dunking him, but like forcefully dunking him,
like
and holding
drowning
him underwater.
Him. Like drowning.
Drowning him. And somebody, like a person who was at the pool, had to like jump in and stop her and like take the kid away and be like, what the, you know, what are you doing, you crazy person? And I guess Child Protective Services came.
So it was her kid.
The police came.
It was
obviously.
Her kid.
So she was like hurting her kid in front of all these people, you know. I mean, granted, don't hurt your kid if you're by yourself, but like just the fact that like she was dunking this, you know, luckily there were people around to
right.
stop. Just it just like messed with my headspace, because I like that earlier in the day I went swimming with Leo, you know, he's learning how to swim and so go underwater, and you know, and I'm just like super overprotective of
sure.
the water.
Just imagine
and
dunking
I'm filming
him
a
down.
Wedding and there's all these emotions of like love and it's happy and beautiful.
Oh, geez.
And here's this lady like
killing
her kid. Like
killing her kid.
Like, what the some of those things, like anything with kids just kind of wrecks me a little bit.
It does.
Just, you know,
you get what you get
like,
really.
How can you do this? You're
you get,
a savage.
I know. You get torn up. Like all those stories, I'm sure, of like women putting kids in the car and then sending it off into the lake. I'm sure that gets you every time.
No, that happened when I was in eighth grade, or seventh grade. Susan Smith, I remember it. She had like two kids, and she just set them in pushed them into the river.
Jeez.
I was like, what the, you know.
Jeez.
Good God.
Bad news. Bad news.
Jeez. Why? I don't want anybody to take
overpopulation. Overpopulation. Maybe
it's like free therapy, Dave.
Free therapy.
Yeah, I know. It's good to talk about what you see.
I feel like you really need some therapy today. You really need to let it out. So I'm going to let you let it all out. You're just here to just let it out. Let everyone know what's going on in your life, because you're all pent up. I could feel it. I could feel it. All jammed up.
Dude.
All jammed up.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Jammed. Well, we do get jammed up sometimes.
Sometimes we get jammed up. Oh, man.
You talk to me. Tell me what's going on with you. Sorry, I've been taking the stage, but I'm just
you've had a lot going on. I'm trying to get Dylan to call in. He on a whim went out and bought a Vespa the other day. And it's one that you need a license for. So he went out and he got his permit and he's been driving all around and he bought this thing and it apparently needs some work on the carburetor. So I know this weekend he was going to work on the carburetor. So I wanted to see how that went. I don't think it went well.
No.
But
Vespa's, what's his name? Tim Dunn got a Vespa.
Yeah.
And did that whole thing. And he rocks like a helmet. But
he has to.
Honestly, like, you know, and I've ridden my bicycle in the city, and it's pretty thrilling and exhilarating. It's kind of a fast way to get around the city. But a motorcycle or a Vespa, a scooter, is like the best, or electric bike.
Right.
It's one of the best ways to get around the city because
it's
thin and you can kind of just cut through and stuff. I don't know if you can cut lanes in New York. I know you.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Some states you can.
Yeah, I think you can.
But
I mean, they have the bike lanes now for mostly everywhere. So you could pretty much zip up and down those, which here's what I don't understand. So bike lanes, they put them on the side of the road, right? So you're driving down. So if the cars in the lane, right to the right of that is the bike lane, and then right to the right of that is where cars park. I feel like that's the worst case scenario, because
what are you gonna do? You're not gonna put it in the middle of the road.
Why not put it in the middle of the road?
I mean, there's got to be somewhere.
Why not put it in the middle of the road? Make a wide lane in the middle of the road that's just for bikes, so that they're because I mean, you're gonna have a lot more accidents with people opening their door parking.
Yeah.
Then you are going to have.
That's why you got to look for. That's why you got to always look around for bikers, man.
It's true, but then you're putting your life and safety in some idiot drivers.
Listen, it's dangerous to live in New York City. It's dangerous to be a human being. You have
it
to
is.
Have your head on a swivel
all
constantly.
All the time.
I don't want people to get dumbed down.
I know.
And make it too easy for people.
I know.
You got to be aware of your surroundings.
But here in Colorado, you got a lot of stone people. And you got a lot of people with guns just walking around and carrying permits.
Oh, yeah.
And
guns, weed, and like cell phones. So they're like, they're high, they've got guns, and they're texting on their phones while they're driving.
That's frightening.
So it's like it's a crazy trifecta.
Yeah.
Some people do I like this mic on the swing.
You like the little swing. Swing it out.
Because I can swing it away when I need in. To.
You're going to hit yourself in the face with it.
You know, I was going to take out my teeth. I did that. I had my wedding ring on, and I was doing something where I was like, you know, doing like something with the kids, like, oh, you know,
some Native American thing, probably
some offensive
thing. Some Native offensive something. Native American God, thing.
That sounds terrible.
It's like a jam.
But I almost, it serves me right, because I did it with my left hand, and I think my wedding ring almost, I could have chipped my tooth, because I was like, oh, and then like the ring hit my tooth, like the front of my tooth.
Oof.
And I was like, oh, that's stupid. That's terrible. That's why I don't do that. That's why I don't make offensive.
Is there anything that made me Native think? American. Is there anything that like you did as a kid that you're not going to teach to your kids? So like, I know for one thing, they don't call it sitting Indian style anymore, right? They call it something else.
Crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce, which is the worst name they could have came up with. Like, just sit cross, leg cross, whatever. But Indian style, that's gone. That's offensive. That's out
can't
of the
say Indian style.
Can't
anymore.
Say that anymore. Is there anything that you remember that you just like don't teach your kids because it's just going to be really offensive to people?
I mean, I feel like, well, I wouldn't teach my kid how to egg cars, but like, I feel like egging cars is kind of done. Like, nobody really eggs cars anymore. Maybe
like
they do.
Halloween, they but don't like go shaving cream up then, something.
Nah, not really.
No.
I mean, at least not in my neighborhood. I think the other thing that I was thinking about this the other day is, do you remember playing like Manhunt?
Yeah.
Or Blackout or whatever, where you just like dress in like all black.
That's racist.
And like fatigues, and you like paint your face and you just get like black. You know, you just like dress black. Or
you
like
would
just
paint your face blackface?
Well, I wouldn't paint my face black. You know, you just get like, you're decked out in the darkest clothes that you can and go play tag.
Yeah.
But I feel like kids nowadays can't really do that. Cause I think if you say, like, we were 14 and 15, maybe 16 doing this.
Yeah.
If you saw kids in all black, you know, jumping around in the neighborhood or the bushes, you know, somebody gets shot.
Yeah. It's true. But I mean,
like, or just get, you know,
kids are going to do that somebody. Though. Kids are going to do that though. Like, kids get bored. And they're going to go out and they're going to go torture passing cars, or they're going to torture like other kids, middle school kids or high school kids. High school kids are the worst. They'll torture everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I remember when I was little.
I remember a good.
Go ahead.
Oh.
You're jammed up. Go ahead.
Jammed up. No, I remember a buddy of mine. We had this kid, Ryan, who was kind of like a bad influence, but well, he was a younger kid, you know, and he was just kind of, he was the bad kid. You know, he was like Macaulay Culkin and the Good Son.
Right.
And we were egging cars, me, Chris, and this kid, Ryan, from this like little sort of hill. It was like a covered hill with like, you know, plants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the cars were going one way and, the other way. And Chris, you know, had this like super throw where he got this car that was just going like, and it was, must have been like 50 yards away.
Sure.
You know, he just had a sweet arm and nailed it. To where the, you know, it hit the car and the car kept going, and I might not even realized where it came from.
Right. It just thought some acorn fell from the sky or something.
Yeah. And so Ryan, who was a little bit younger and a little bit more gangly, you know, wanted to, you know, it's all like, do it. You got to, you know, of course, peer pressure. You got to egg a car. And so he gets a car coming the other way. So, you know, going towards like our house.
So he whips it.
Not really the best way to hit the car.
Yeah.
And so like, throws the egg from like, I want to say 15 or 20 feet away from this car.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, like no chance of hiding or running whatsoever.
You're out
and
there.
Pelts this like Crown Vic on the side of the window. Homeboy slams on the brakes.
Of course he does. He's pissed.
Gets out of his car and points at my friend Ryan and says, you're coming with me.
Oh, no.
And you're washing my car. The dude lived in it was a condo, lived in our parking lot.
Oh, sort of. Jesus.
So right
of course
there,
he did.
And
these
Ryan
people are driving
had
around.
Had to watch this guy's car. He taught him a lesson right there. Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
Were you laughing at him the entire time?
Oh,
yeah. Like,
totally.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember when I was young, my dad, speaking of dads don't teach kids bad things, my dad taught me that if you took a bottle of old like Barbasol shaving cream and put a pin in the shaving cream thing, right, and then the spout, and then put a lighter to it and melted it would melt a perfect little pinhole size hole for the output. And then when you sprayed that, it would spray like 15 to 20 feet. So we would use that, and we'd just go like, we would be walking down the street and someone would walk by and we'd be like, shh, and just spray them in the face. But there was
a dragon.
But I remember there was a lot of, I remember growing up, there was like one girl who lost her eyesight out of one eye because she got hit in the face with an egg. And
Seriously?
Yeah. One girl lost her eyesight from it. It was really bad. And that kind of like put a stop to the whole egg thing in the town, because for a while it was just like, it's cool. That's just what happens.
That's what you
on
do.
Halloween.
Oh, the sound of an egg hitting a window or a house.
Satisfying.
Beautiful.
It's satisfying.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, kind of, I don't want to say it's a life, but it was like it's an egg. You
it's
know,
an
it's
egg.
Like, ah, yeah, yeah, you know.
Well, then you'd have like the evil assholes who would boil the eggs so that they were harder and you could throw them a lot further, which is really bad.
But then I guess they don't stain as much.
They don't stain as much, but if you're going to whip them at somebody, it's going to hurt. That's going to hurt.
This is reminding me of all the bad stuff that this kid did. So this kid would also, we'd go around
was
the
his
neighborhood.
Name, was his name Giggles?
And,
Was his name Giggles?
No. I think he might have spent some time in jail. I remember seeing him a few years ago, and he was just jacked. Like, he was, like, from the sort of tits up, was just, like, jacked.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, homeboy looks like he spent some time in prison.
Yeah, it's prison. Like, that's prison.
Like, he did prison push-ups, you know? Like,
yeah, prison.
Just nothing but arms.
Yeah, totally.
For, like, a few years.
Prison muscles.
But he would go around that. And this is all when we're, like, you know, 12 or 13, so statute of limitations is definitely a pass. Yeah.
And that's gone.
Technically not illegal, but like kind of a dick move to do. But he'd go around, you know, we lived in this fourplex of condos. So each building had four condos. And so the people's power, the circuit breakers were on the outside. So you could just walk up and like shut somebody's power off. So he would do that. He'd just walk to the side of their house and shut somebody's power off. And then, you know, maybe 30 seconds later, shut it back on again, or just shut it off and leave it off.
That's bad.
Now in this sort of computer digital age, somebody was probably working at home on some paper on their computer where they hadn't had it saved, or they've been working typing it up for hours.
Not at all. And it goes down.
Just went, and just shut it down. Oof. And they must have lost everything.
That's, you know, brutal.
Back in the day, you didn't have Control S.
You didn't have Control S. No.
You work on your paper, that's something, it just goes.
That's
somebody
brutal.
Pulls the plug on your word processor. And you're done.
You're done. Yeah, you know? The word processors. I had one of those. Those were hilarious. Those are great. I wrote so many papers on those things. They were so much fun.
Yeah.
What I used to do in my town, there was.
I'm going to pull that sound clip.
You should.
I'm going to pull that audio clip. That's a good one.
What we used to do is we'd torture this one house. And I don't even know why we just chose this house to do it. And it was like a bunch of. It was a family that had a bunch of girls that were older than us. And I think they'd have already even graduated and moved on. And we were like maybe in eighth grade or something. And we'd go every night and we'd pull one of the Christmas lights out of their strand. So they'd have like, you know, 50, 60 strands. And if you pulled just one out, that one strand would go out. So in the like you start in the middle and that strand would go out. And then the next thing you go out and you pull another one out of the other strand and then that strand would go out. So like after like a few days, strands would just go out and out and out and out and out, and they wouldn't know why. We were such terrible people. Terrible people. Yeah.
I think seventh to ninth grade is probably the worst time for just kids.
Right.
Or boys. You know, because they're just they don't know what's going on. They're going through puberty. They're trying to like lash out.
Right. And they're trying to impress.
You know, I'm no child psychologist.
Trying to impress all their friends. That's all they do is just try to impress everybody. I remember
I still do that. I give CEOs bricks of peat.
Oh,
trying to impress them.
I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you gave him a brick of peat. There was this one dude I remember who was like, there was always that one dude who was like, you knew he was going to end up in prison, just like you were talking about that other dude. But you were also like, that guy's pretty cool. That kid's cool. Like, he's really cool. And there was one kid, he gets chicks. There was one kid in my like ninth grade class. And he was in ninth grade. I think he was held back a couple of years, but he had a giant tattoo of a naked chick on his back. Like, his whole back was a naked chick. And like, he would wear like wife beaters all the time, so you could see it. So I remember sitting behind him being like, this dude's got a fucking tattoo of a giant naked chick on his back, and I haven't even gone through puberty yet. Like, what the hell's happening?
I'm so inferior.
Oh, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I started a lot of, I'm trying not to do it, but I recently friended a cousin on Facebook, and he does nothing but post pro-Trump stuff, just nonstop. So I've like twice, I think I've done it, and I've said something because it's so absurd. And one was like, we eat meat in America. We shoot guns in America. We love Trump in America. If you don't love all these things, you're not an American. And I'm like, that is the most, I just wrote, I was like, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You need to chill. And like the thread goes on and on. Of course, right after I posted that, my mom posted, that's my son.
Right.
Yeah. So it's getting out of hand, and I want to stop, but I feel like I have a duty to at least say something, because I can't let these people just throw this stuff out there with no contradiction to it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And also I did another thing. So you remember, Rose's old boyfriend, Austin?
Cry Rock? Oh, no,
that's another dude. Yeah. He was running. I was trying to get him on the show, and, it didn't really work out because he's kind of whatever. I'm not even going to say anything bad about him, but, he ran for president under the Libertarian Party, and he lost second place to that guy who, I don't remember his name. Remember the guy who won?
Gary Johnson?
Gary Johnson. He lost second place to Gary Johnson.
Wait, no.
Yeah, he did. Austin.
Sasser's old boyfriend?
Not Sasser. Rose.
I know. I don't.
So he's decided.
Rose's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Second in place to Gary Johnson.
He came second in place to Gary Johnson for the Libertarian Party. Yeah. I tried to get him on the show, but he just didn't want to do it. Or he had his representative be like, "You should come to this meeting and give donations." I was like, "No, dude. I kind of know the dude. Whatever." Yeah. But he's now decided that he's going to run for Senate of Missouri, because I guess that's his home state. And he's just posting nonstop, and like his posts are absolute crazy. It's all like gun toting stuff. And he had one post saying, "What would he say?" He had one post that said him and his rival, and his rival is pro. I'll even look it up. Let's see. Did he take it down? He might. No, here it is. His rival is pro abortion, pro-regulation, and pro-Obamacare. Ugh. And he is pro-life, pro-liberty, and pro-Constitution. And I responded, I've decided that I'm going to intervene myself into his campaign and make it known that he is a pain in the ass, because he's going to run now under the Republicans. So I wrote, his opponent is pro-abortion and pro-regulation. He's apparently pro-life and not for regulations. And I was like, if you're so non-regulations, why do you want to regulate a woman's body? Doesn't make sense.
That's what you wrote?
That's what I wrote.
And that's why you won't come on our show, because you're...
Well, I figure this is my thing. If I get him in a heated argument about something, maybe he'll come on and we can talk to him about it. And I really want to hear like his take, because he's a libertarian now running under a Republican Party in Missouri. And Jesus, just rough. It's rough. What are you doing over there?
Yeah. I was looking at this picture of this this wedding venue I've shot at. They cut down all these trees, and now like you can see. So like, wow, it's pretty interesting.
Sounds interesting.
I didn't really care about that last story you told me. I
know you didn't. I find it fascinating, but you do not. So what are we going to do? We're
talking
at an impasse.
About Rose's ex-boyfriend. I thought you were talking about Andy.
No. No. We'll get him on. Talk about his wedding. See what he's up to lately.
God. He wants to get married in Mexico. Nobody's going down to Mexico. It's going to cost so much money.
It's going
to
cost
We should get
a
him on
money.
The show. Didn't the last time we had him call in, we talked. He's... making everybody pay to go on a vacation to celebrate him.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I mean, that's what destination weddings are. It's like, it's like you come to celebrate me on your vacation, which...
Why doesn't he just get married in like, what's the place, Baja? Like, what's the place, or Tijuana?
Tijuana?
Can't you drive someplace from LA?
Yeah, you could drive down to Tijuana. Yeah. Jailhouse Joe used to drive down there all the time. He had a grand old time down there.
Joe did. Joe redid my website. Looks
pretty
good.
How does it look? Yeah, I saw it. It looks good.
Yeah.
There it is.
Good job.
Good show.
There it is.
So what's the plan for the rest of the night? The kids asleep? What's going on over there? It's pretty early.
I don't know. I got to clean my office. I had that wedding. Well, I had two shoots this week, and then my office, whenever I do shoots, just gets like super messy. It's ridiculous. So
yeah,
I wish there was a way to like just sort of keep my office clean before gigs, but you know, I do so many different things. I got the photos, the videos, the audio, everything coming in.
But and I'm like, all right. Are you working on that Spanish school thing? Is that what that?
Oh yeah, I actually worked on that a little bit today. So yeah, I did. I was listening to Spanish, which was my first time editing Spanish.
How'd that go? Do you know what they're saying?
Good. I mean, I understand it. I mean, I can pretty much know what they're talking about. Because I had asked the people questions in English first.
Yeah.
And then I said, hey, can you, because it's a bilingual school, I said, hey, can you give me that answer in back in Spanish? And most of them could, especially the principal and some teachers and stuff like that. So I kind of know what they're talking about.
Right.
And I can catch one out of every five or six words. So I know for the moment, you know, 20% out of everything they say, I can kind of pick up on. So.
I didn't really care about that last story you told. How's that feel? How's that feel, huh?
Listen.
You look good. We got to get a guest next week.
With each other.
It's true. We got to get a guest next week. Really tune this thing in. We'll do something. We got to do something good because it's been a couple weeks since we've really been more than just me and you. You know, which is nothing wrong with just me and you, but we know some interesting people. Let's get them on.
We do.
All right. What did we learn today? Anything?
Don't give the CEOs of billion-dollar companies bricks of peat.
I can't believe you gave him a brick of peat. That's just too... That's rich. That's really rich. I wonder what he's going to do with it. You really got to find out. Like, in a week, send him an email.
I think he threw it away. I think he gave it to somebody to throw away. I think he was like, I got to get rid of it.
Just for the radio, just email his people and be like, hey, I gave him a brick of peat. Did he throw it out?
Just a little follow. I just do a little follow-up.
Just doing a little
follow-up.
Did
he burn it?
Yeah.
What was the smell? You know?
That'd be pretty.
Enjoy the smell.
That's too good.
I told you I went to this. Well, I don't know if I told you this, but I went to this, these friends of mine in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They put on the page, hey, we're having a little bonfire. Come over.
Garage
And I was
bar.
Like, well, I'll come over there, you know, meet some neighbors, whatever. And so I bring a brick of peat. This is about a year and a half ago. And Julie was out with the kids. And so I show up to, you know, these people's house and I go in their backyard and I was like, hey, this, you know, this is a brick of peat. This is from Ireland. It's pretty cool. You know, you burn it. It's kind of like, you know, incense almost. And I put it on there and it starts burning. And then Julie calls me. She's like, hey, the kids are acting crazy. I need you to come home. I was like, oh, I just sat down in this bonfire. You know, you sure? And she's like, yeah, I need you. And I was like, ugh. I was like, all right. So sorry, guys. I got to go.
Here's the peat.
My wife really, really needs me. And I had found out after I left that the guy, the husband, as soon as I left, grabs some tongs, takes the peat off the fire. He's I don't know this dude. This guy comes over to our house, drops this brick of peat on our fire and says he's got to go. He could have been dosing us. You know?
That's really funny. That's really good. Oh, man. You got to go back over there and be like, hey, give me that peat back. It's good stuff.
They told me, they were like, you know, we didn't know you at the time. We're friends now. You know, they
that's funny.
I was actually over there at their place last night for a bonfire. We did a little after party after the poker. We went and had a bonfire at their place. So
damn, things are happening out there. Summer,
dude,
of
I'm making friends, man. I'm making friends.
The summer of giggles.
You know me.
The summer of giggles. I love it.
Summer of giggles.
All right, that's it for us. Later, good boys show. And girls. Good show.
Hey.